subject, Christ Jesus, our great high priest. Christ Jesus, our great high priest. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Now, I wish you'd take a Bible and open it and keep it there in your hands, because we're going to read several verses beginning at chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. Now, we hear many people say that the book of Hebrews is so difficult for them to understand, so difficult for them to comprehend. Well, let me say this. Now, listen carefully. Any book of the Bible, any book of the Word of God, is not only difficult, but impossible for a natural man to understand without the Holy Spirit to teach him. Now, that's so. Any book of the Bible is not only difficult, but impossible for a natural person in his own human wisdom to comprehend. Our Lord said this in John 8, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. He that is of God heareth God's word. You hear them not because you're not of God." They came to him in John 10, and they said, "If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, I told you. "But you believe not. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice." The natural man does not hear the voice of God. But the man whose ears have been opened by the Holy Spirit will hear the word of God. And the man to whom the Holy Spirit has given eyes of faith, he will see the mysteries written in the Word of God. Now listen to this scripture in 1 Corinthians 1. Paul said this, "You know it, you've heard it before. The preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness, sheer nonsense." And again Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually understood." And people say, "Well, the book of Hebrews is just hard to understand." It's not only hard, my friend, it's impossible unless the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Man has eyes, but he cannot see, and ears, but he cannot hear, and a heart, but he cannot understand. Christ said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables." And then in John chapter 5, verse 43, he brought this terrible charge against us. He said, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name, seeking his own glory, preaching his own message, and him you will receive." So we come to this conclusion that the Holy Spirit is going to have to be our teacher, or we're not going to understand any of the Word of God, much less the book of Hebrews. But now let's follow on. The Word of God is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, "It pleased God to reveal his Son in me." And then that scripture I quoted from 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, "Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God's prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth the deep things of God, yea, all things of God. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher." Christ said, "When he is come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them to you." One great old preacher of many years ago made this statement to a congregation one time. He said, "Now, my friends, if my voice is the only voice you hear tonight, nothing of any eternal value will be accomplished for you. You've got to hear him speak who speaks from heaven. You've got to hear him speak who speaks through his word. The author of the word of God must be our teacher." The author of the word of God must be our teacher. But let me say this. For the Spirit taught man and the Spirit taught woman, there is a key to the book of Hebrews. Now you take the book of Hebrews and turn to chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there's a key to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to give you this key, and I believe if you use it, and the Holy Spirit is your teacher, then God will reveal to you the things that are written in this blessed book of the gospel of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is the key to the book of Hebrews. This book is written to show the excellence and the glory of Jesus Christ above everything that has come before and everything that will come after. This book, here's the key to it, all the way through from chapter 1 to the last chapter. This book is written to show the excellence and the glory of Jesus Christ above everything that was before and everything that should follow. Now take chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. What does it say? It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who is the brightness of his glory, who is the express image of his person, by whom he made the worlds. Now the prophets served their day. The prophets spoke for God. The prophets represented God. But this man, Jesus Christ, is above and beyond the prophets. He hath more glory. He hath more excellence. He hath a name that is exalted above every name. This person, this Jesus Christ, is God himself. God spake to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken to us himself through his Son, who is called the Word of God. The prophets couldn't say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The prophets couldn't say, the words that I speak are not my words, but the Father. Christ could say that. Philip said, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Moses, that great prophet, said, God shall raise up unto you a prophet from among the brethren. Him you shall hear. And this is that prophet, Jesus Christ. And this book is written to show his excellence and his glory above all the prophets put together. Then look at verse 4 of chapter 1. The angels. Verse 4 talks about the angels. The angels are ministering spirits. The angels are messengers of God. But verse 4 says, but this man hath more glory than the angels. For verse 5, unto which of the angels did God say, thou art my son? Did he say it to Gabriel? Did he say it to Michael? Did he ever say it to Lucifer? No, sir. But he said it to Christ. Thou art my son. Verse 13, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Did he ever say that to an angel? No, sir. He hath not put the world, verse 5, chapter 2, he hath not put the world in subjection to the angels, but he hath put the world in subjection to Christ. Thy throne, O God, he said to the Son, is forever. And Christ said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. So you see, he hath more glory, he hath more excellence than the angels. That's what chapter 1 and 2 said. Now read on. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. He says in verse 3 of chapter 3, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now all the way through the gospel, you hear these Israelites talking about, we have Moses. We believe Moses. Moses was our leader. Moses was our prophet. And the Word of God says here, this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses in this way. Moses was a servant in the house. Christ is the Son. Moses was a part of the house. Christ built the house. So you see already, we see the key to the book of Hebrews is that all who went before and all who followed after, Christ is worthy of more glory, more excellence. Now watch this, chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. We read about the Old Testament priests. These men served God in the tabernacle, about the temple. The time of their service, these Old Testament priests, the time of their service was limited both ways, by birth and by death. But this man, now this is the key statement all the way through this book. But this man talks about the prophets, and then God says, but this man. He talks about the angels, but he says, but this man. He talks about Moses, and but this man. He talks about the Old Testament priest, but this man. This man, the God man. The God man, the second Adam, the man from heaven who is the Lord from heaven. This man hath an unchangeable, unlimited, immutable priesthood. Wherefore, this man is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. So whatever you read in the book of Hebrews, take these three words, but this man, and you'll find the key to this book. The prophets spoke for God, but this man is God. The angels serve God, but this man is the angel's master. Moses was a servant of God, but this man is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. The Old Testament priests served as intercessors, but this man is the one mediator between God and men. The Old Testament priest served in a typical tabernacle, but this man is the tabernacle. The Old Testament priest offered typical sacrifices, but this man is the ultimate supreme sacrifice. The Old Testament priest brought the atonement one day out of every 365 days, but this man is the atonement. And then you take that book all the way from the fourth chapter, all the way through, and you'll find Christ compared with these Old Testament priests. And Christ coming forth with all the glory and all the beauty and all the excellence and all the worship. And you'll find in the book of Hebrews the most beautiful presentation of the gospel to be found anywhere in the Word of God. I wish that every one of us would take the book of Hebrews and study it based on this key right here. But this man. Now let me show you a few illustrations of this. I'm going to give you about six. If you want to, jot them down. But first of all, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, he says this, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the main point. What is it? The main point is this, Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Of all the things I've said, Paul, this is the main point. This is the sum. We have a high priest. But now he's different from the sons of Levi. He's different from Aaron and those priests. How is he different? He gives us six ways in which Christ is different. Six ways in which our great high priest is more excellent and more glorious than all of these Old Testament priests. And that's what I want you to see. Now, first of all, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 23, this is what it says about those Old Testament priests first. First of all, it says in Hebrews 7, 23, and they truly were many priests. M-A-N-Y, many priests. Who can possibly count the thousands and thousands and thousands of priests who ministered about the tabernacle and the temples for those 2,000 years? Who possibly can? How many thousands of priests were there? They were born. They grew up into manhood. They studied. They trained. They entered the priesthood. They served their time about the tabernacle and the temple. They took care of their particular assigned duties. Another man was always in the wings waiting to take their place because they got old. And after a while they died, and this other man stepped in. And he served his time, and another one came along. He served his time, and another one came along. They came and they died. They were born and they served and they died. There were many of them. Watch this. But this man is one. And this great high priest, Jesus Christ, hath an unchanging priesthood. This is the way it describes him, talking about Mephibosheth or Melchizedek, but it says this is Christ. It says, without father, without mother, without pedigree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, abideth a priest forever. Our great high priest is one. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was God's sacrifice. He was God's atonement from the foundation of the world. His blood is the blood of an eternal covenant. He is the surety of an eternal covenant. He is the one great high priest. He is the one great mediator, and all the rest of them are but types and shadows and pictures. Christ said, Moses wrote of me. All of these great priests and these secondary priests represented the one high priest who should come. Now watch secondly. These Old Testament priests were human, and they had sins of their own for which to offer sacrifice. Look at Hebrews 7:27. It says, those priests offered up sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the people. In other words, Aaron and the sons of Levi and all of these priests were sons of Adam, just like you and just like me. They were sinners, just like you and me. They needed forgiveness, just like we need forgiveness. But Christ Jesus, our great high priest, had no sins. When these Old Testament priests went into the holy place to offer the sacrifice and in under the veil into the Holy of Holies, they were appearing before God not only to represent Israel, but to represent themselves, for they needed forgiveness, they needed pardon, they needed remission, just as much as the people. But Jesus Christ had no sin. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal with God not only in glory, not only in power, not only in authority, but in holiness. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Christ said one time, I always do those things that please my Father. He had no sin. All right, watch thirdly. These Old Testament priests offered, the scripture says, in Hebrews 10, many sacrifices. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 11 and 12. It says, every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin, but this man. You see how this is the key all the way through this book? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, these Old Testament priests, I want to know if you notice one particular word in here. It says, every priest standeth daily. Standeth. These men always stood. There was some furniture, seven pieces of furniture connected with the tabernacle, but not one chair. There were tables, there was the mercy seat, there was the candlestick, there was the laver, but there were no chairs because these Old Testament priests never sat down. And they never sat down because their work was never finished. They'd offer the morning sacrifice and the noon sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and the next day it was the same thing all over again, the morning sacrifice, the noon sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. Once a year, the atonement, the great day of atonement, but it had to be offered next year too, because it says these sacrifices can never take away sin. But it says this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down because his work was finished. Christ need not be offered up in the communion or the sacrament every Lord's day because he has offered himself one time and he hath presented a sacrifice and an offering which is acceptable to the Father, and he sat down, having finished his work. What did he say on the cross? There were seven of those statements from the cross. He said, I thirst, and he said to John, behold thy mother. He said, Father, forgive them. Said to the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But one thing he said toward the end, Jesus cried with a loud voice, it is finished. What do you mean by that? The atonement was finished. The payment for his people's sins was finished. The ransom was paid. They were redeemed. The work was done. Jesus paid it all. All the debt we owed, sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This is the key to those words on the cross. These Old Testament priests offered many sacrifices, and they stood daily. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, in the fourth place, in Hebrews 10, verse 11, these Old Testament sacrifices could never put away sin. Now, I hear people say, well, we're saved today by the death of Christ. But back in the days of Isaiah and David and Jeremiah and Moses, those men were saved by the law, by the ceremonies of the law, by the sacrifices, by the blood of the bulls and goats. Now, hold on a minute. Listen to the scripture, Hebrews 10:4. Now listen, you turn to it and read it yourself. It says in Hebrews 10:4, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You say, well, preacher, why were they offered? They were types. They were shadows. They were pictures. They were prophecies of the coming Christ. His blood, every time that they offered a sacrifice, it brought forth a remembrance of sin. But now listen to this scripture, Hebrews 10. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart, them who are the objects of God's love, them who believe on Christ, them who are the objects of his redemption. He hath perfected forever by one offering. God says, I'll remember their sins no more. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God said, I'll separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's infinity. He says, I'll cast them into the depths of the sea. No, these Old Testament priests, with all their sacrifices, could never put away sin. For if they could, they would have ceased to have been offered. That's the reason Christ didn't have to die but once. Because with one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now in the fifth place, Hebrews 9:24, it says, Christ is not entered into the holy place made by hands, which is a type, a figure, a picture of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. These Old Testament priests, you know what the tabernacle looked like. It was out there in the wilderness. It was so big with a canvas fence around it, and then the beautiful building on the inside, and it was divided into two parts. This first part was the Holy of Holies, separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place was a big, thick veil from top to bottom, side to side. And once a year, the great high priest, they went about the business, the sacrifices, the ceremonies in the holy place. And once a year, he would crawl under the veil and go into the Holy of Holies, where there was one piece of furniture. There was the Ark of the Covenant, in which was the table of stone, the law that God gave to Moses, and Moses' rod that budded, and over the top of it a mercy seat of pure gold, and the cherubims. And he'd put that blood offering once a year on top of that mercy seat to picture the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood, which covers the law, which pays our debt, which cleanses us from sin. And they go there into that Holy of Holies, into the tabernacle on this earth. Well, it says Christ didn't go into the holy place made with hand, but into heaven itself, right into the presence of God. Now, if you want an earthly priest that plays around in a natural building of sticks and stones and brick and mortar, you are welcome to have him. But I don't want that kind of high priest. I want my great high priest who is not down here playing church and playing religion and playing God. I want the one who has entered into the Father's very presence with his own blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And when he entered into the presence of God with his blood, having died on the cross, that old veil in the temple was rent in two. And God is saying, by the rending of that veil, this tabernacle is of no more use. This temple is of no more use. This earthly priesthood is of no more use. These sacrifices of animal blood are of no more use. My Son has died. Once our blessed Christ of beauty was veiled off from human view, but through suffering, death, and sorrow, he rent that veil in two. Holy angels bow before him. Men of earth give praises due. He is the well-beloved since he rent the veil in two. And Paul says two or three times in the book of Hebrews, we have a high priest. Let us hold fast our profession. We have a high priest on the right hand of God. We have a high priest. Let us draw near with full assurance. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I hope you'll join us next week for the broadcast. If you'd like a cassette tape of these messages, you write to me. There's a small charge, but we'd be happy to send you the tape if you let us know that you want it. Until next week at this time, God bless you, everyone.